Hey, well, I'm inviting a very, very dear friend and comrade up here, Kerry Rose, Pastor Kerry Rose. While he's making his way up here, let's just give it up once again for Paul Kinderdine, who shared with us about the Everyman's Battle Class. Let me tell you why. We give it up for him because I'm grateful for men whom God has given a story of walking them through a life-dominating sin, and on the other end, they're able to share the spoils with us. The rest of us, we can benefit and grow from them, and consequently, they avail themselves to let God use them as what I would call a wounded healer, a wounded healer. For years, I taught the drug and alcohol class here. And then for years I taught the When Good Men Get Angry class. And in both of those areas, God enabled me to take my vulnerabilities, weaknesses, failures of the past and redeem them to be used for God's purposes to help my fellow brothers in Christ. And so that might be your story, guys. And in fact, a number of you are already being used that way because God puts you in contact with men that, man, you know where they're at. And your heart breaks for them when you hear their story, and you're a living hope to them that God can get a man through whatever it is that others are struggling with. So this is a great time, like those men there, if you need to relieve yourself or get more filled up, you can do that now. And in the meantime, I want us to give a warm welcome to Pastor Kerry Rose. And if by odd chance some of you don't know who I am, I'm Neil Ortiz, and I serve as the pastor over Challenge Men's, but I do it with a lot of other quality brothers, what we call QBs, and those on our leadership team. And on behalf of all those guys, we welcome each and every one of you here. We're glad that you're with us. So the title of the message we're going to hear in just a few minutes is called, Are You Man Enough to Listen? And I just tell you, as a native New Mexican Hispanic guy, when I hear somebody ask me that question, I might say, "Shorale, what do you mean, am I man enough to listen?" Like, those are almost fighting words, right? You man enough to listen. I'll show you what's man enough, and then it can go from there. But guys, the truth is, we really need to ask ourselves that question. And in love and respect to one another, we need to be asking our brothers that question. Are you man enough to listen to what God is saying to you? And I can tell you that Pastor Kerry has been an incredibly influential man in my life and in the lives of so many here at the church when it comes to him speaking to us about the importance of understanding that God is constantly speaking to us as his people. We have to be willing to listen. And also to listen to a sermon, whether it's from our pulpit here, which is paramount, it's important, as well as sermons we might listen to on a podcast or the radio, we need to listen expectantly for God to speak to us about us. And so, Kerry, share with these guys your heart, your drive, your passion about listening to the voice of God.
My heart, my drive. You know, when I first became a Christian, and right smack in front of me, it's not by accident, I'm staring at Ken Wiley. You know, he's like kind of one of those people that have been giving me a hard time for the last 25 years. And he saw me how I was, and I don't know how he sees me now, but I used to have dark hair, and so, and earrings in both ears, and a ponytail. But anyway, you know, when you first start out, at least when I did, I was trying to save my marriage, trying to do all kinds of other things, and early on I discovered that God wants to keep things simple. And that when you have someone, and please keep in mind, I knew nothing about being a Christian at 36, and so I just thought that Skip and every other pastor in town, every Christian church was all the same. And I would go in and sit and take notes. And please keep in mind, I was doing it for Penny, my wife. I wasn't doing it because I was saved. And then I realized that, okay, some of this works. Jesus says, so I'll try it. At the same time, she kind of tricked me into going to a thing called BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, and it didn't take me long to see that I could answer the questions on the homework without looking them up. And the other people were struggling, and I was going, what's going on here? And by accident, I found out that the pastor we have, teaching the way he teaches is different from the way most people teach. He gives us exactly what we need before we need it. Now, please, as I say that, this is not about Skip. It's about Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, a pastor or teacher is up there to give you equipment to build up, edify the body of Christ, but also to fulfill a promise he gave to all of us, and that is the unity of the church, and to protect me, it says, so that we'd no longer be children tossed to and fro. Now, I was a 36, 37-year-old child. I had no idea that there were false doctrines. I had no idea what I was doing. When we, and I assume in this day and time that many of you are struggling with certain things, whether it's what Paul talked about or other things, God makes things simple. I don't need to go to 10 Bible studies. I need to pay attention to the one every Sunday, because he will tell you, he will show you that he keeps his word. He gives you a piece of equipment before you need it for everything you need that week. You don't have to go to three or four things. God doesn't want to overwhelm you. He wants to encourage you. One thing at a time. That's what he told Paul. This one thing I do. And so many of us, and I was one of them, thinking, well, gosh, I've got a lot of catching up to do. I have a Christian wife and I stink. And so you want to, you don't have to do 10 things. You have to focus on the one he gives you.
So keeping it simple, guys, that's a huge, huge point that I want all of us to either be reinforced by or walk away from this morning with, is keeping it simple. In fact, on that note, Kyle, would you mind bringing me my iPad? I think it's just to the right of Moses there. I'm going to show you something about how Carrie and I try to keep it simple week to week for the rest of you guys. But Carrie, let me now merge what you just shared with the fact that for... Thank you, my man. With the fact that for so many years, you've also been a part of a men's study group, a men's accountability fellowship, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. for years and years and years, you know, a couple decades, you've been a part of a group like that. How do you see God fusing those two things in a way that has enabled you to experience the growth and the transformation that you have in Christ?
Well, again, I have to give credit where credit is due, and that is Penny drugged me years ago to a home fellowship. And there were all couples that had children, and again, Ken and some other people, there was about 10 or 11 couples. But what I found out in these little groups is we got to talk about what was going on in church. We got to discuss them. And out of that group, Ken and I, and it started out, there were three or four of us from the home fellowship, started meeting in my architecture office. And when it stopped, or when Bob Church asked us to move it here, and it was kind of the genesis of this, there were 22 or three people coming, and I couldn't fit them, and Bob says, bring it to church. And that was kind of how that started, but we, just by discussing what we were hearing on the weekends, found out there was more there than we could absorb, and it was that simple. And again, he isn't called Abba by accident, Daddy. Those of you who are fathers, you don't make things complicated for your kids when they're struggling. You show them the one thing that'll help them become a success, not a failure. They'll do that on their own. They need, again, the encouragement.
You know, not only for us personally, guys, but for us as a family, as a group of men, as a team. Another thing that is essential for us to recognize in order to maximize our growth personally and for each other is that when we take the weekend pulpit, we'll say, of our own church here, Calvary Albuquerque, I find, and I know this is true for Carrie as well, each week God gives me more truth to ingest and then digest that honestly is well, way more than enough than I can even fully ingest in one week. And so where I want to take the conversation now is to a place where Carrie and I have been talking about quite a bit lately. And that is to accentuate and further encourage our participation, either as a leader, as a facilitator, a host, or as one who's attending and being a part of what we call connect groups, or our men's Bible studies, or our book studies. Carrie, if you were to tell these guys who don't have any experience of getting together, and perhaps we'll just focus on the Connect group for now. In a Connect group, what we do is we take the weekend message, and each week on the Challenge Men's website, in about 600 words, we'll summarize the weekend message. And then down below, we're going to include what we call things to ponder and discussion questions. It's all one side of one page, guys. So if you're a leader of this group, you don't have to make anything. You just have to be available to facilitate, to lead, to get these guys together. Whether it's at a Starbucks or at a classroom here or in Solomon's porch, get them together and rehash in a discussion format the truth that you took in over the weekend. Carrie, what would you say to a guy who's never experienced that? Why that would be an important thing, perhaps even an essential thing for them to consider?
I think it's essential to consider because, again, in Ephesians it says, not just Neil and Carrie are called. Excuse me. We're all called. Every one of you has the capability with your testimony and with your personal application each week to incite a group, to lead them, to instigate them. And often these groups, whether it's a Bible cafe or a kinship, or now they're called Connect groups, the leader not necessarily is a teacher, but he's somebody who has the guts to be honest. He says, this week, I learned when Skip said this, and I really didn't like it. What'd you learn? And guess what? You just got an hour discussion. Because most people won't open up. And please keep in mind, you guys are the leaders. Your personal application of God's word gives people what they need to take the next step. They watch you. Again, Ephesians says all of us, every one of us, he calls us ligaments, muscles. Every one of you has the capability to encourage, affect, teach each other. Every one of us.
You know, Carrie, just in case there's a guy out there who says, you know what, I'm just not perfect yet to be able to lead. Explain to the guys what you know to be true, and many of us know to be true, that God often utilizes our very failures to be able to serve as leaders for other men, either to avoid that pitfall or to identify with their own struggle. What does it mean to a guy out there that says, don't I have to be perfect before I can actually lead?
Well, it's not in the Bible, and I don't know who said it, but perfect's not an option down here. And I think that I have, you know, some of you who've watched me limp around the last 2 or 3 years and other things that have been going on, I've often had moments where I thought, okay, I'm disqualified. You know, the pain's at a certain level, or certain things are going on with my kids that, why would God use me? I need to step back. That wasn't true. You know, when we're in that shadow that Skip talked about a couple of weeks ago, when we're in a place where we think, you know, this is just way too tough, that is exactly when God shows up. He wants you to step into those dark places. You'll find there's a pattern in the Bible that some of the greatest lessons are taught in the dark, whether it's Jacob wrestling with an angel or other things. He's in the dark, and that's where we learn things. I'd encourage you, if you're struggling with something, that the first step to, and Paul kind of alluded to it, to finding out if God is about to keep his word to you, no matter what condition you're in, confess whatever it is, repent, and take a step. You might find God will surprise you. He is a God of discovery. And so many of us are held back by the fact of our own kind of self-delusion that we aren't useful. That's not what that book says. He says you're all called. God never gets a wrong address. You're called. You can teach. You can equip. You can counsel with the things God's given you this week.
Brothers, God is speaking to us. And perhaps it was a lyric in one of the songs. Perhaps it might have been something that I said, and I'm not even aware of how it affected you. Perhaps it was something that Paul mentioned. And I'll tell you what, if you're a note taker, I'm going to encourage you to write down three things that Carrie has just said. First, perfect is not an option down here. That's liberating, guys. That's encouraging. Perfect is not an option down here. The other is, to facilitate one of our Connect groups requires a man with the guts to be honest. Just have the guts to be honest. And then the other thing he said was, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Now, Carrie and I have been talking a lot about this, along with Kyle as well. Let me encourage us as a men's ministry to take the lead in our church in order to advance a very important emphasis that our own Pastor Skip has now shared with me and a few of the other pastors on staff, and we're in the process of now infiltrating this mandate, this vision throughout the church. And it is this, and I'm going to preface it by saying first that as I've thought about what Skip has said of late, it reminded me of the old KFC slogan that God used Mickey Odom a couple weeks back to remind me about. We were talking about how God's used this church in our lives, and especially that pulpit. And Mickey brought up the old slogan, "We do what right?" Oh, any old timers here? "We do chicken right." Right? KFC does chicken right. We are blessed, men, with a profound pulpit. I can tell you guys that I have been around the world, literally, and all of us can hear teachers from every corner of the earth through the internet. And we've been gifted here at Calvary Albuquerque with a world-class Bible teacher. So when we take that message, we summarize it, we put it in the form of things to ponder and discussion questions, there's a lot of meat to chew on week to week, guys. And if you're not benefiting from a regurgitation and a further chewing and extraction of the nutrients, either personally or in a group setting, not just do it, but I'm going to challenge each of us, self-included, to follow the lead of Pastor Skip, take up that mandate. And here's how I want you to do it. If you're a part of a Connect group or a men's study group, continue to do that. If you're part of a Connect group where it's a mixed group, men, women, families, continue to be a part of it. If you're leading one, praise God, lead hard. Lead hard. If you're not a part of one, I'm going to even challenge you to do this. Take what you're doing for God's work, God's kingdom right now, and seriously pray about redirecting your efforts to either participate in a Connect group or to even lead one yourself, guys. If you have any questions about that, I'm going to be at that back table next to the Renew guys after we break today, and I'm going to get your name and number. We're going to hook you up with how to get started, guys. This is not just an idea that the men's ministry has. This is following the lead of the church. And when we take the women's ministry and all these other ministries in the church where this emphasis is going to, in a renewed way, infiltrate the church, I want us as men to take the lead on it, guys. And so I want you to pray. I challenge you, pray. God, what do you want me to do? Jump on board with one or lead one, and then you come talk to me or Carrie or Kyle. We're going to hook you up. If you need some time to pray about it, a couple hours even, we're going to be at the Welcome Home Center ready to sign you up for leadership consideration over the weekend, this weekend, and next weekend as well. Sound good, fellas? Carrie, any parting words that you would give to the men about giving them a challenge to become a part of a Connect group?
I don't know if it's a challenge. Again, the thing that excites me about them is every week when we're having doubts and you just lost your job, when your wife gets a lump in her breast, whatever it is that occurs with you, God wants to show you weekly that he's going to give you what you need. And so your confidence, your faith deepens just by listening and writing down one or two things. You get to find out we serve a God who makes promises he keeps. And unless you approach it like that, you'll miss out. You'll think he's left you somewhere in the desert. It's not true. Every week, no matter what we're going through, he shows up to give up what he wants for you. That's all. And it's enough.
Awesome. Carrie, thank you, brother. Before I introduce our guest teacher today, special teacher, God had put it on the heart of a brother to remind me of this before we get started here, guys. Hey, some of you guys had a hard week, but it's going to be hard-pressed for any of us to have a harder week than a number of those people that are stranded on that mountain in Iraq right now. Many of whom are Christians fleeing persecution from this group that wants their destruction, guys. And so there's a number of men, women, and children, families that are stranded up on that mountaintop in Iraq fleeing ISIS. I'm going to lead us in prayer for them right now, okay? Lord, in so many ways, some of us have no clue what these men, women, and children are thinking, feeling, and wondering right now. But this is a moment, God, especially for those who know you and those who will come to know you because of how radically you're going to intervene right now. We ask, God, that you would send angels in full armor to guard that mountain. Lord, that if there be any Paul the Apostles like Paul was on that ship that was headed for Rome in the book of Acts, who would rise up, hear from you, having seen you, and then give a vision and give a word to all those people that are up there, that Jesus Christ's tomb is empty, that God is on the throne, and that, Lord, you're the defender of the defenseless. Please, radically, profoundly, whether it be through a multi-ton bomb from a jet or a drone, but Lord, even more radically, by your angels whooping the enemy, please, God, show yourself strong on behalf of these families, these people that are fleeing and perhaps dreadfully fearful. Show yourself strong on their behalf, God. Radically move. Deliver. Deliver them, Father. And we ask this in the name of our great ultimate rescuer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. All right, guys. Now I'm going to introduce to you, you know him, but I'm going to introduce to him uniquely for the first time in the way that I'm going to introduce you to him, in that for the last little over a year, Kyle Nelson has been an intern pastor on staff with us here at Calvary Albuquerque. And I had a conversation with Pastor Skip just on Thursday, and I was able to simply share my experience about Kyle and proposed to Pastor Skip that we take Kyle from being an intern to being a licensed pastor on staff. So in a sense, the fruit of that conversation resulted in being able to remove the word intern from in front of Kyle's pastor title. And so for the first time publicly, he doesn't even know this. I'm introducing to you our teacher. Where are you, man? There you are. Would you give it up for Pastor Kyle Nelson?
Oh, good morning, good morning. I'm now confused because of that, so. Anyways, Neil stole the thunder. The message is, as you might see somewhere around here, are you man enough to listen? I'm not challenging you to a fight because I can look around and I know at least four of you guys could take me out quicker than I could move. Antonio's one. I don't see Monte here, but he's another. I'm pretty sure Rod can too, in his own special ways. But this question God gave me about 2 weekends ago, in a long 3.5 hour drive in silence, my daughter was asleep in the back and my wife was asleep in the seat next to me. And it was raining coming back from Durango from a wedding we went and visited. And in that, in about a 48 hour period, the Lord had to do some radical heart surgery on me. Through a number of experiences, but it took being forced into silence and forced to stay awake driving back from Durango for God to speak to me. And he gave me this. He says, hey, you're a man, you know how to work out. You know how to work on cars. You have a beautiful wife. But he said, clearly, now I don't hear him audibly. I'm not that crazy, but he asked, are you man enough to listen to me like you say you do in front of a lot of people? And I admit to my own shame, there's times in this season where I haven't. And so keep that in mind. But I also want to talk about communication. Because 3 weeks ago we had this message from Pastor Skip, and it was titled, Say Something. I didn't hear the song until the night before when I YouTubed it. And but even just the message title speaks about communication. Both parts of communication. Our verbal cues using language, but the second one was listening. And so how many of you can relate to me where you need things repeated? All right, good. Or you at times find yourself having to repeat yourself to certain people. Okay? I just typed that into Google because I was trying to get some sort of real scientific proof of why it happens other than the fact that we're just men. And the only thing that I found was just some funny, you know, how many of you have one of these? How many of you have the autocorrect thing where you're typing and all of a sudden it guesses your word or it thinks it's guessing your word? I hate that. Because there's been times where you're sending one off and all of a sudden that whole conversation goes this way and then you have to call that person and say, hey, the phone did that, not me. But there's a lot of communication breakdown in all forms of our society, be it with us as brothers, be it with us and the Lord, ourselves and our wives, or even technology. So, before I pray, hearing this and thinking about communication and my own struggles with it, I had to find out why I often at times needed things to be repeated. And another question came to mind, and it was, what's important to you? So hang on to that question, what's important to you? And in your mind's eye, just think about this as I set the scene. Middle of the week or end of the week, NFL's about to start. It's game night. Your wife tells you right when you get home, hey baby, we got dinner at so-and-so's house, or we got to be at the doctor's tonight, what have you. I want you to think about how you might respond to that. Now, if you're like me, you would think, okay, it's 5:30. There's a restaurant on the way. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, in and out. I can get there, have our peace, leave, get back maybe first quarter or halftime. Right? And that made me think, I said, wow, that's the most selfish thing ever. But in that, even when I need my wife to repeat things, simply because I'm too selfish to listen. I found that to be true with the Lord. So as we look at this psalm, we hear from David some things that were very important to him. And we can try to over-spiritualize David, being that he's the hero of the scriptures, or he's the man after God's own heart, and we don't have that title, although God says we do. But he's a man just as we are, and we all know his largest failure. So let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning, anticipating and expecting you to speak to us. Lord, you repeat yourself to us every day until the point where we will listen and come into agreement with you. So God, I thank you that you desire to speak to us. And Father, as I stand up here today, I ask that you would speak to me this morning, to all these men here. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, let's read. Pick up in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now there's Flo joining our conversation. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from your secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So in this, I found that there's a few things here that were important to David. At the end, he desired to be pure. He desired to be obedient. But most of all, I found the key to the answers of my question. Kyle, are you man enough to listen? I found the key to what Pastor Skip closed his last weekend's message with. How do we get out of the spiritual depression in our lives? And even before that, when we were in Psalm 23, I learned that God continues to repeat himself. And he'll do that. He does that every day. But when the light bulb clicks in us, that's when what Carrie and Neil were talking about. Keeping things simple. And just allowing God to move in our lives. So we look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And I found that it's perfect, so it's sweet. Perfection is not an option on this side of heaven. But it's a sweet thing to think about. And in God's word, his law, it's refreshing when we seek him because it gives us a correct relationship with him. We serve a relational God. He just wants to talk to us. He wants to be able to direct our steps, speak into our lives. The second half of that, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And to be honest with you, I thought David was challenging me, saying, hey, simple? You mean stupid? No, that's not at all what he's saying. The simple there is just being simply minded. Having that heart or that mind of a child and depending on God to speak and direct our steps. My 14-month-old's getting ready to walk, and she's climbing before she's walking onto the couch. And I see that little girl trying to take these headers right off the couch. And so I've been taking her, spinning her around, showing her how to get on her belly to slide down off the couch. And every time she looks at me, like, Dad, what are you doing? I just want to go. And then I saw it click in her eyes yesterday because she went for it, and then she turned sideways and did one of these numbers and fell off the back of the couch onto her feet. And then she giggled as I was sitting in there. Oh, your mom's not here. But that's all God wants. Come to him with the simple desire that he wants to speak. Receive his instruction like a child would ours. Next in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Rejoicing. God's word makes us happy. I noticed a pattern in my life. As I continued to either not allow God to speak into my life or have do one of these numbers, like my wife, when I'm reading or trying to do the dishes and she's speaking, telling me of events that are coming up, and I'm like, yeah, honey, I get it. And then the next day she's like, well, why aren't you ready? And I said, oh, we talked about that. I heard her, but I didn't listen. When we listen to God, all of life's problems diminish. They're still there, but the weight of them, they're gone. God wants to give you that joy. That joy is in him through his word. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. And I found that this is what that says. God wants to change your mind. Paul in Romans says, Romans 12:1-2. What does it say, guys? You know it. Somebody shout it out. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Absolutely. He wants to change your mind about life, about how we interpret it, how we interact, how we have relationships. Allow him to do that. I remember when I got saved because I was the ringleader of the hooligans. And then my buddy started to look at me. Well, you're just brainwashed. You know what? I wish I had the mind to tell them at the time. Yeah, my brain needed the washing, though. It still does today. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So as we're going through, we see David just telling us the value of God's Word. We read in the Psalms and in Proverbs that it's a lamp unto our feet. It lights up our path. You don't know which step to take? God will reveal it. He'll give us the light. He cleans our minds, but He'll also establish your life. How many of you are in that valley, or just coming out of that valley, where the weight of the job, the stress, Antonio, even you just getting married and learning the uniqueness of joining houses with your spouse. It's fun, it's exciting, but at the same time, there's some burden there. Kind of like you got the 400 pounds on the squat rack on your back and you're not sure if you can do it. God wants to establish your life. We just have to have the desire and the hunger to allow Him to move. The way we do that is seek Him in His Word. Return to the simple things. I don't know about you guys, but the longer I walk with the Lord, I find it far too easy to depend on my own strengths. Oh yeah, I've read that book. And as I'm reading it in my devotional in the morning, that pastor said it this way, and this is what that means. There's a lot of truth to that, but that's not what I need to hang on to. God wants to speak to us fresh every day. How many of you have experienced that? Where, oh yeah, James says this, and this is how you do it. And you're sitting there telling somebody, whether you're in the prayer room or in your own Bible study or what have you. And then you got God sitting there on your shoulder. Yeah, but, hey, come back. That's all He wants to do. He wants to establish our lives. The more obedient we are to Him, the more enlightened we become. This phrase here in verse 10, the more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Now to me, I don't know, I've never liked gold or the way that it shines, or it's never really seemed appealing, except for in the Pirates movies where you got the cool looking coins and they're stacked up in the chest. But what's the gold in your life? Is it that sports team? Is it the muscle car? Is it your favorite TV show? What is it that you do on a daily and a weekly basis that you're willing to completely either cancel something, reject something, just so you can make it to wherever you are? How about the gym? Paul says bodily exercise is a good thing, but godliness profits forever. So that God gave me this question. Do we desire His Word as much as I desire my most prized possessions? I rephrase this quote because I can't speak as eloquently as that of a Spurgeon. And I got this from him. The way we approach the Bible is the way we approach our Lord. How many of you have that tattered Bible? And not just because you threw it in the truck and it bounces around. As I re-listened to Skip's message, he noticed a pattern of David being the shepherd, being outside, looking at the heavens, then looking around on this earth and then looking into the Scriptures. And that got me thinking. The importance of our focus and how much that impacts our lives. And I'm not just saying, you know, where I'm looking. I'm saying, well, I guess I am just saying that. What happens when we look down and around us? Health problems, bills, relationship issues. Continue to focus on those things rather than trusting the Lord and seeking Him, what He wants to do either in us or through us at that time, makes them far more complicated to get through. How many of you can agree to that? But also, Those people that we allow to speak into our lives, whether they're godly or not, they have an impact on us. And so, if I was going to challenge you with anything, it would be this. Measure those who you allow to speak into your lives, whether they're a brother, a pastor, what have you. Find out what it is about them that truly makes you go, okay, I can do this. If that guy can do that, I can do this. I can seek God if he can seek God. And if God changed him, then so be it. Because if it's just the cool guy with the guitar, the crazy hair like mine, don't do it. Don't do it. We become who we hang out with, and we'll learn to act and think just as they do. You want to learn and know how to be godly? How to have a pure life? And have these things not bog you down? The only person that's been able to do that on this was Jesus Christ. This entire book, from cover to cover, are his words. So as I'm sitting here reading David and re-listening to what our pastor taught us about his focus and what his focus revealed to him, I went back to an old phrase I learned in martial arts, biomechanics. How many of you heard of that word? Okay, quite a few. All it is essentially where your eyes are is where you'll go. You see like Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee doing those spin kicks? The only reason they're able to hit their target is because their eyes found it first. Their eyes will turn until it hits the corner, then their chin hits their shoulder, and so forth, and it comes around and spots that target. God wants to do that with our hearts and our minds. Focus on him. So that's the results of us looking down and around us. What are the results of looking up and in Scripture? Verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in them, and in keeping them, there is a great reward. So what happens when we look up? We heard from our pastor that we learned the need of our Savior and our need for a Redeemer and our own, get out of here, and our own sinful nature. Because God's Word is a mirror, revealing the depths of our souls. But not only that, He gives us the ability to live in a state of awareness. How many of you heard situational awareness? Okay. Situational awareness is just being aware of your surroundings. There's white dot and black dot, or some guys use the colors orange and red. And all it is you're walking into Walmart, and then all of a sudden you get that tingling sensation, that spidey sense, and then you see this guy trying to take some lady's purse. Because somehow in your vision you caught that. Or God alerted you to that. He wants to do that with everything. There's been times here where I'm sitting there listening to the message in the hall, and then all of a sudden, God has me turn around, and something's about to happen. Or he prepares me because the person walking to me at the front of the sanctuary, he just says, get ready, this one's going to be heavy. God wants to give that to you. So the next time that your boss comes in and threatens your job or chews you out, or the next time that you and your wife have that intense moment of fellowship, God wants you to give you the awareness on how to respond to that in a godly manner, to be able to listen to the words, to receive them, have him filter it, and then come back out of you. So that maybe in that conversation God uses it where, hey, you didn't respond the way I thought you would. How did you do that? Well, let me tell you about my Savior. What's the reward? The reward is the abundant life lived through obedience. We always wonder what that really is. Some guys on TVN say it's all the money and the cars and you'll never get sick and all that. No, that's not the abundant life. Because we just talked about spiritual depression. And I've been there. And I'm barely climbing out of it. But all it is dependence on our Lord and seeking him in his word so that all those things are filtered through his hands. And I'm no longer striving in my own strength and my own abilities to reach that mark. 12 through 14. Let's reread. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I got to be honest. Letting that hit me probably hurt the worst as I prepared to speak about this. But what's important about those verses? There's a principle there. It's the importance of abiding. We read in John 15, that parable of the vine. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's the principle. Here in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, written by a shepherd, a simple man, had that because he sought his Lord. And so, where I also look at this, we see that David wants to have a clean inner life so that his outward life can be clean as well. And that got me thinking, how is my outward life? How is my inward life? Look at that word presumptuous, guys. I think the NLT and the NIV say willful or deliberate sins. And I wondered what those were. I was led to another story in Judges. A guy by the name of Abimelech. How many of you remember that story? He knew everything that was right. That was one wicked dude. And so, what are those sins in our lives that we've allowed to comfort us? That's what David's talking about here. We all have them. I don't stand before you today saying that I don't have any. I do. But are you going to allow that sin to continue to comfort you? Or are you going to allow God to confront you and to help you conquer that? That Renew ministry is great for the scalpel, for God to use that scalpel and cut that out of your life. But where God's going to reveal the most to you is by listening to Him on the weekend. Finding that tool or that gold nugget of truth that He has for your life that week and the week to come is there. Are you listening for it? Are you willing to go up and pick it up? There's a pattern here that stood out to me. There's errors, there's secret faults, secret sins, to presumptuous sins. And what are those errors? Those errors are just a sign of your maturity. It might be one of those sins that you commit and you didn't know it was a sin. We all know most of them, but how many of you get angry and then, yeah, that's okay, I can be angry at that guy, he's not a believer? Or how many of you are a little bit more comfortable with the second look as that lady walks by? Or if you're like me, in my first and second year of walking with the Lord, and God had to really work on my vocabulary because I didn't have one, I didn't know that profanity wasn't acceptable in His sight. He had to work on that. But what's the challenge? When God shows you your error, what are you going to do with it? You're going to just allow it to continue? Because if you do, then it becomes one of those either secret sins where we've gotten so comfortable with it that it doesn't matter. Be careful with that because God will harden that part of your heart and you'll miss out on a lot of things that He wants to do in your life. And those presumptuous sins or those willful and deliberate ones, according to this scripture, it's a great transgression. There's only a few times I've read that in this book. Discipline toward godliness protects us from our sin. Just seeking God, saying, I need you today to get me through this day so that I might not let that foul word come out of my mouth, so that I might not judge that brother with the wrong intention or have the wrong motive and manipulate this person. But the only way that our outward actions will be that way, in verse 14, if that's you and you really want that, and that's the prayer and the cry of your heart, what do you have to do? Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What dwells in us is what pours out of us. So what happens when that guy cuts you off? Consistent obedience safeguards you from sin. That's something I've learned. Consistent obedience. Not just for a little while. And if I mess up, okay. Confess. Get back to walking again. And I learned that in that, towards the end, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David is screaming of dependence on Christ. Dependence on Christ is pleasing to God. So as I come to an end, and we think about that question that God asked me, that he's asking all of us, what are you going to do when he speaks? Are you man enough to listen? Are you man enough to respond? Are you man enough to take him at his word that he so faithfully keeps? To test him even if you completely doubt that there's no way, God, I can get past this sin. There's no way I could ever live this way. I say try it. That's what I had to do. Just jump in feet first. Sink or swim. Watch what our God will do. I close with this. Paul talks about it in Romans, but it's a poem I heard a long time ago. There are two natures that beat within my chest. One is foul and one is blessed. The one I love and the other I hate. But the one I feed will dominate. Let's be mindful of what we're feeding. That we allow God's word to refresh us, to restore us. That we abide in that vine. And let us not be comforted by our sin and to continue to feed on it. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. For it is the nourishment to our souls, to our hearts. Through your word, you give us life. You give us peace. You give us understanding. God, forgive me of the times that I've ignored you, that I've not listened. And Lord, just as David prayed, reveal to me my errors so that there might not be any secret sins, so that I may live a pure and obedient life for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.